you ready to stop submitting basic applications and winging your interview for your next nursing role? Whether you're a graduate nurse or a seasoned healthcare professional, we'd love to exclusively invite you to our secret nurse growth hub, where you can get all of the support to apply, interview, and land your next nursing role completely free. All of the resources that we've shared and created over the last 3 years that have helped 3,000 plus nurses internationally apply, interview, and land their next nursing role. So what are you waiting for? Come and join us today. It's completely free. LiamCaswell.com/NGH. Come and join the Nurse Growth Hub today, and let's make applying, interviewing, and landing your next nursing role easy. Hello, you are listening to the High Performance Nursing Podcast with me, Liam Caswell, where I help clinicians just like you take control of their careers and remove all the things stopping you from achieving your biggest goals. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the High Performance Nursing Podcast. It's my final week in Paris and I'm so excited to get back to Australia. Oh my God, maybe I'll come back and pretend that I've got a little French accent alongside my bad Australian accent. And my Scottish accent. Honestly, I got roasted for this on TikTok the other week. Somebody was like, what is your accent? I was like, I don't know. Don't come for me. I don't know. It's an amalgamation of Liam's life and Liam's experiences, which is fabulous and super fun. Today, I'm talking about all things real exciting, being rejected from a job. Isn't that so fun? I can hear you thinking, oh my goodness, why? Well, the reason why it's important to talk about it is because it's an inevitable part of our human experience. Rejection in all shapes and forms, not only in our career, but as a human, right, on this earth. So I feel like it's important to talk about because I've had quite a few people come to me recently that have or haven't worked with us. Like they've just come to me for advice or they've come and worked with us and they've not got the job. Now, these are people that come and work with us that don't come into our NCA where we guarantee and we work with them until they land a job. And that's the whole reason we offer that, is because I was looking at all of these people applying for jobs and putting all their eggs in one basket, and they were looking for a change or they're applying for the first grad and they'd apply for one, they wouldn't get it, and then they'd collapse in a heap because that rejection just hit them hard. And I want to help people prepare for that rejection because it's part of the process and you will face it at some point. I hope you never do, but most people will. And I want to talk about what we can be doing as we are experiencing that rejection and why we might also be rejected. So I've had people coming to me and this recurring theme of like just feeling so deflated and disheartened and like they want to throw the towel in. And they're frustrated about the system and how it works. And, you know, if only I did this and if only I did that. And it turns into a version of like a blame and shame game. There's this shaming of themselves for not having done better. And, you know, you could have done more. And also then this blaming of the system. And I totally understand it. Like, this is 100% normal. This is exactly how humans react, right? How I react when something like this happens. In fact, when I was rejected from my medical nurse unit manager and I applied for the medical NUM job, sorry, it was my Don that rejected me for the medical NUM. And then the person that they put into that role then came and like rejected me just as a human taking breath, which was horrible, like totally uncalled for, but that was just their nature. I felt all of those things, the shame, the embarrassment, this kind of like hangover from the interview process and application process, because there was such adrenaline and stress and happiness and gratitude, but also fear and worry and overwhelm. It's like this emotional cocktail. And when I finally got the letter of rejection, I was like, all of that for nothing? Like, what the fuck? What happened? Where did I go wrong? Like, I thought this was in the bag. Not because I'm cocky and egotistical, but because literally every person I spoke to was like, you got to get this job. And if you've experienced something like that, I just want you to hear, one, you're not alone, and two, it's okay, and three, let's dive into what we can actually do about these things. So I want to categorize the three reasons why I think that somebody gets rejected, okay? And I'm talking about rejection after the interview stage. If you're not getting to interviews, you're being rejected because your application is just not hitting the mark. And that sucks, but it's a really good thing to know. Do not let your brain
run wild and tell you that you're not good enough and you're incapable and you need more experience and you need to spend $5,000 on certification and you need to change states because you're so embarrassed, your application just is terrible. It's fine. Like, just accept it. Your application's not hitting the mark. It sucks. And move on. Right? Treat it like you would a clinical skill. The first clinical skill that you learn, you suck at. And over time, you build your skills, your knowledge, your wisdom, your experience, and you get better. But we don't just give up with the cannulation. We keep going. So the same is true in your resume. Little side note, caveat, I was watching American Idol last night. I know it's tragic, but I absolutely love people that can sing. Like, it's like my go-to. It's my safety. It's my regulation. It's what brings me down when I'm like stressed and activated or when I'm feeling really like meh. I know if I put on a vocalist, like not any vocalist, like a vocalist, and I put them on and I'm listening to it, it just lifts my energy. It is my thing. And there was somebody on there last night. And here's the thing. She wasn't that good, to be fair. She wasn't like the kind of vocalist that I would go for. But she had auditioned 15 times for American Idol. And she did not get through 15 times. And on the 15th chance, like opportunity, they gave her a go to get in front of Katie, Lionel, and Luke, the judges. And I'm saying first name because we're on first name terms because I watched the show. So she auditioned. And look, listen, she still wasn't amazing. But they were so drawn to the fact that she persisted and that she tried out 15 times that they were like, if you can try out 15 times to get this opportunity and you listen to our feedback, then we know that you will put in the work to keep going and keep moving forward. And the same is true in your nursing career. Do not ever let any rejection at the resume stage, at a clinical skill stage, at a simulation stage, at an interview stage, stop you from just trying again. We only fail if we quit. And we ain't quitting around here. We're high performers. We do not ever quit. Ever. Period. All right? So the three things that I want to talk about are post-interview stages. And they include being the right fit for the job. That could be a reason why you're not chosen. You're just not right fit. You are maybe not the best seller on the day, right? So you're not the person that sells themselves the best. And although that sucks, that's a reality. And the dreaded, they've already got somebody picked. They're the only three reasons I want you to think about. Because all of the other reasons don't matter. And they don't even serve you to think about. And the third one actually doesn't really even serve you. Pre-selection of a nurse before interview, and they're just interviewing for the sake of interviewing. We know this happens. I could argue that that's not even a good way to think about it for your own mental and emotional well-being. We can acknowledge that happens, but I don't want you to use that against yourself, okay? Or against the manager or against the person that gets the job because they're just playing the game. Everybody's playing the game. So let's talk about fit. You might not be a fit because of your application doesn't match your interview, right? You might not be a fit because maybe they really need essential criteria and you don't have it. But you got to the interview stages and you tried your best. Maybe you're just not a cultural fit. Maybe you just don't vibe on an energetic level with the panel. That's a thing. You know, nurses, we pick up on energy and vibes. That's what we do all day long. We read people before they even open their mouths from their verbals and their nonverbals. So the same is true in the interview. That's what's happening. So you just might not be an energetic match for the organization. Okay. Number two, being the best seller. Now, I know many people really hate when I talk about this, but this is the reality of life. The reason you have the car that you have is because that car company sold the ass out of that car better than any other car company. That's the reality. We are all victims of consumerism and marketing and capitalism. We all buy into it. So do not waste your precious mental and emotional energy whining, complaining, bitching about the fact that the person that came in sold themselves better and you didn't. Like, that's the reality of life. That is how the game works. This is why I have this podcast and all of our free resources in the Nurse Growth Hub is to help you learn how to sell yourself better. This is why I launched this business because I was sitting on panels seeing incredible clinicians and they could not sell themselves for shit. And I mean that with love and kindness. That was the reality. And whilst I was like, oh, you know, advocating for them behind the scenes, being like, no, they're really good on the floor. I had Adons and Dons shitting on my decision saying, no, Liam, They didn't sell themselves. They didn't show up. They didn't tell us why they would be the best fit. They just assumed that we knew everything about them. So the people that learn how to sell their skill set at a graduate level, right up to CEO Don, are the people that will win. Think about this just in a business context, right? The companies that are able to sell and communicate how awesome their products are, even if they're shit, win. That is just the world that we live in. So let's stop wasting our precious time and energy arguing with reality and arguing with the fact that Jane that got the job has 2 years experience, but she knows how to sell herself. And that highlights, my friend, that we have a skill gap. And that's totally fine. Because like the resume sucking, the interview, we can work on that. We can get to you to a place where you sell and communicate your skill set so that you knock that person off the perch and you get the job the next time. So we got to become better sellers. And here's the best laugh. We do this every day. We sell our patients on getting out of bed. We sell our patients on getting out of the pajamas. We sell to the doctors to come and review the patient. We're good at selling. We just don't think that that's what we're actually doing, but we are. That's what we do every single day. So when we go to the interview, we have to get to a place where one, we acknowledge our achievements. We acknowledge how awesome we are. We sit with the discomfort of talking about ourselves for 20 damn minutes. It's only 20 minutes. You can do it. And we sell and communicate how awesome we are. And when I say sell, I don't mean hyperinflate. I don't mean confabulate and tell all these massive stories that are not factually true. But you are showing the panel why you are the best fit. You're making it easy for them to pick you. That is why we all have iPhones and Samsungs. They make it easy for us to get it, to buy it, to understand what it does. Notice they never tell you about the technology that's embedded within the iPhone or the MacBook. They just tell you that it takes amazing pictures at night when you're out with your friends. That is marketing and that is selling. And that is one of the main reasons why probably 99.9% of you that get through an application stage do not get the job. We've got to sell better. If you want to learn how to sell better, make sure you join our Nurse Growth Hub. The link is in the show notes, but it's liamcaswell.com/NGH. liamcaswell.com/NGH. And I will show you how to sell yourself. Now, the third one is pre-selection. Now, we know this happens and it totally sucks, but I don't want you to spend a lot of time here. It might be healing and cathartic for you to give yourself permission to think about it in the sense that, oh, somebody's already in the job. They've been doing it for 6 months. I haven't. That kind of gives me permission to be a little bit nicer to myself. So use it in that sense, but otherwise, don't think about it. Don't bitch about it. Don't even spend a minute afterwards at work in the tea room gossiping about it, because that energy will just drain you, my friend. And it's just not helpful, because now you've got somebody in the job that was chosen over you and we have all of these dramas that surface. So I really want you to think about the pre-selection as it happens. It's not HR policy and procedure. It's terrible that it happens, but I'm not going to fixate my energy and thinking on that. So what can we do when we do get that rejection? And here's the thing, rejection is actually more prevalent and prominent at higher level roles. You are more likely to be rejected as you grow and build your career. So when somebody comes to me and they say, I'm applying for a CN and it's my dream opportunity and I've been working to this for 10 years, and then they don't give themselves permission to get the support that it, like for application and interview to actually land that job, I'm terrified. I'm scared for them. And they might have been the pre-selected candidate, but 9 times out of 10, you've got to remember the managers walking around tapping everybody because they want a pool of applicants. They don't just want one person to pick from. So don't be deceived by that tap on the shoulder or that you'd be really great at this. They're doing that to multiple people, not because they're being nasty or malicious, but because they want a pool of awesome applicants. And especially as you build your career up towards roles like nurse unit manager, nurse educator, ADON, DON, these roles require a very different approach to application and interview. It is selling on a whole nother level. How do I know? Because I've applied for these jobs and I've got them. And I'm really good at selling things. I'm very good at selling myself as well, because it's a skill that I've practiced. Not because I think I'm amazing and I'm egotistical, because that's always an argument that comes up. People say, I don't want to be an egotistical, overly confident idiot. I'm like, no, that's different. That's arrogance. This is self-confidence, my friend. And you are self-confident. We need you to be self-confident. You wouldn't be here if you weren't self-confident. You wouldn't be doing the job of a nurse if you weren't self-confident. You wouldn't be applying for the job if you weren't self-confident. We just need to give yourself permission to actually exude that self-confidence when you go to the job and show them and make it easy for them to pick you. Just like the iPhone, we make it easy for the panel. We make you the irresistible offer on the table that they have to take. This reminds me of somebody that we worked with recently in Queensland. She had been told that her manager, there was an A&M position on the ward. She'd been working there. She was an EN into an RN, and her manager had kind of alluded to the fact that somebody else had their name on the job. Like, it was somebody else's job. So you can apply if you want, but, you know, in so many words, it's not yours. And she was like, hell to no, I want that job. That job has my name on it. I've been working towards this for years. Like, no one ain't going to tell me no. And I love that energy. And I think good on you. So she came and joined us, and we did application and interview. And oh my God, she went and absolutely slayed this interview. Not only did she have the clinical skills and the experience, she also built her skill gap. Like, she filled that skill gap in the self-confidence, the selling of herself, the marketing, the professional branding. And she went into the interview and she slayed it. And you know what they said to her at the interview? They said, you've got the job, you're amazing, and that's the best interview we've ever seen. Imagine receiving feedback like that. That is what's possible for anybody across the spectrum when you understand that interviews are not to be winged, that they are a game that you must learn to play. And any skill gaps you have, you've got to fill them ASAP, just like you would clinically. Now, what are my four tips for you when you are navigating job rejection? First and foremost, pay attention to your brain, your beautiful brain, because you are going to be probably in a dysregulated nervous system state. You're probably going to be probably in what we call team hypo, where you are feeling all the feels and you are lethargic and fatigued and you're like, why did I even bother? And you're in this kind of like really low energetic nervous system state. That's where I would expect you to be after getting a rejection. Let's just normalize that. Let's normalize this experience. You tried your best. You didn't get the result that you'd hoped for. It's normal to feel the way I feel right now. Nothing's gone wrong. I'm not broken. My career's not over. I'm not terrible. I'm not a shit nurse. I'm not bad at interviewing. They're not better than me. I just didn't get the job this time. Yet. In brackets. I didn't get the job yet. And I'm feeling the way I'm feeling because I got rejected. And that's a normal response. Let's not beat ourselves up for feeling that rejection and allowing ourselves some time to move through that. But whilst you're feeling and allowing yourself to just feel the rejection and feel sorry for yourself, give yourself a timeline. I'm going to feel sorry for myself for a day, an hour, a week, whatever it is for you. I mean, the shorter the better. But give yourself time to sit with the emotion, to normalize it, to accept it, to validate it, and then to move forward and go, okay, well, where do I want to go from here? I need to go and collect some evidence and some data about the gaps that I have so that I can do better next time. Okay? Because anytime that we get any rejections, just information back from the universe saying, thank you for trying. Next time, we've got to try something different. Do something different. The problem is most people just go back and try the same shit. And then they're sitting there 5 applications later, still wondering why they're not getting the job. We have to do something different if we want to create different results in our life and our careers. The first step is just normalize and accept. And pay attention to your thoughts, the stories that you tell yourself, the little sneaky little creeper thoughts coming in like, you're not good enough, I'm not capable, I'm never going to make this happen. These are all team hypo dysregulated nervous system thoughts that do not serve you. It makes complete sense that you think like that when you feel like shit and you've been rejected. But those thoughts are not true and they're not factual. Remember, our brain creates stories that do not serve us. Only when we are in a regulated nervous system state and we feel safe, can we access our prefrontal cortex thinking brain and bring our rational thinking online. So we don't make any life or career decisions when we're in dysregulated nervous system states, because we know we're using our survival fight or flight brain. So we're going to bring ourselves back into safety. You could do that by doing what I do. Watch American Idol. Go and do something you love. Go and connect with a friend. Indulge in something. Treat yourself to something. Celebrate the fact that you got to this point. It's not a loss that you moved through application and interview and you got here. It's a celebration. How amazing is that? Did your new graduate self years ago think that this was possible? That you could be interviewing for a job like this? The more perspective we have, the more that we bring ourselves back into safety and allow ourselves to reflect and to see how far we've come, we allow ourselves to regulate our nervous system. Step number two is fill the gaps. So if you're somebody that's ambitious, driven, hungry, motivated, that's why you're a listener of this podcast, because we don't mess around. We're not just here to take any old shit job. We're here to take the job that you want. So I want you to fill the gaps. Find the resources, find the people, the mentors, find the who's that can help you achieve the goal that you want to achieve. Do not sit there just hoping and praying that the universe will immediately make you better at interviews because you got feedback. You have to take the feedback and you have to actually act on the feedback. If we want to change how we respond in stressful environments like interviews, we have to train those muscles. We have to regulate our nervous system. We have to talk to ourselves better. We have to learn self-compassion and self-confidence. And we have to learn how to be able to market ourselves. So whatever gaps you identify, it's like, yeah, this is a factual gap, not a thought gap, not a, oh my God, I'm so bad at interviews. Like I'm just buggered that question. I was going to swear. Buggered that question about, tell us why you want to work here. So I'm never going to be able to do that again. That's not a fact. That's not a gap. Okay. I got through applications. Tick, my application is landing. Interviews, I didn't get through. So what was that in the interview? Ask pointed questions to the panel for feedback via email or call them and get the data from them so you can make informed decisions. Do not make dysregulated decisions from just your thoughts. Gather the data and make an informed decision and then fill the gaps. And you know, I'm going to tell you because I'm teaching you how to market yourself to come and join the Nurse Growth Hub because that is exactly where you can start filling the gaps for free. LiamCaswell.com/NGH. So step three, I've already kind of talked about this, but somebody did this to me like this week and they didn't get the job that they went for and they were really gutted. And they came to me and naturally in Liam style, I gave them a pep talk. Not a like, oh, you tried your best, like, well done, like, you know, everything happens for a reason. None of that. I just was the pep crew and I was like, hold on. Okay, one, well done. You have done amazing. Like, we need to acknowledge that. What are you celebrating? What was easier this time than it was the last time? Okay, what have you learned? Like almost like a Gibbs reflective cycle. But we're really just looking at normalizing, accepting, and validating the experience. And then what? And then where do we go from here? And what we know from the evidence is that when you have people around you that are not going to just pity you, they're not just going to say, oh, you know, you tried your best and like better luck next time. It's not helpful. When you have people that pep you up and really help you see how awesome you are and what you've achieved and how much courage it took for you to achieve what you've achieved, even though you didn't get the result, that's called co-regulation. And whether you know that or not, they're co-regulating your nervous system and they're helping bring you from like either a low nervous system state or a high activated state into safety. So find that person. We've all got one person in our life who we know will just call us out on our BS and they'll say, hey, you did really well and look at how far you've come. And that, my friend, will be gold for you in the recovery from the rejection. So find somebody to regulate. And if you don't have somebody, DM me and I will regulate you in the chats. Alrighty, I'll give you a pep talk. And then the final thing is celebrate your achievement. Like I said earlier, I want you to really sit with this. If you've been rejected, okay, I went for the job, I got the interview, and I got rejected. Gather the data, regulate your own nervous system, find your pep crew, and then celebrate the fuck out of yourself. If you choose not to celebrate, you are robbing yourself of all of the little micro wins that you've had. And you're just being horrible to yourself. I'm going to call you out. You're being horrible to yourself. Do not do this. We must get better as nurses at celebrating micro wins, the little wins. I got a new dress for the interview. That's a win. Amazing. I didn't personally get it, but you know, I got a new dress. Celebrate that. And it's beautiful. And I looked so good on the day. That's a celebration. It doesn't matter if it didn't get you the result. How did it make you feel? How did you enjoy that experience more because of that dress? That's a little like micro thing. But you could look at it from the lens of, imagine what would my past version of me think about how much I have achieved? I want you to go and reflect back on your first year student nurse self and just say, hey, by the way, Liam, 2011 version of Liam, I just interviewed for the ADON. I just interviewed for ADON. Remember when you never thought that that was even going to be possible for you? I just got chills as I said that to myself. Remember when everybody said it's going to take you 20 years and you did it in 10? That, my friend, is worth celebrating. You don't have to tell anybody this. You can just do this in your own damn brain. Because if you can think negative, shitty ass thoughts, your brain can also think really positive, amazing, achievement-focused thoughts as well. It's a choice. And the more that we recognize that we have the choice over how we respond after situations where we don't get what we want, the more you will actively go out and find these opportunities to keep going and keep moving forward. If you choose to beat the hell out of yourself when you get rejected, guess what you're going to do? You're never going to apply again. You're going to stay stuck. You're going to get dysregulated. You're going to have acute stress, chronic stress in your career, and you're going to collapse in a heap. And you're going to rinse and repeat until you wake up. Do not treat yourself like that. You are amazing. You're worthy. You're whole. You're 100% capable. You're incredible. There's nothing you can't do. You just have to show yourself that. I don't even know you. And I know all of that is 100% true. Why? Because you're a human on this earth. That's the qualification. Tick. That's it. You need nothing more. So you actively choosing not to believe in yourself is a choice, my friend. And it's a choice you're making from a dysregulated nervous system state. And that choice is just has one path. Let's get you celebrating your micro wins. Let other people celebrate your micro wins. If somebody says to you, well done, that's amazing, you absolutely nailed question one, be proud of the fact that you nailed question one. Do not sit there and go, but question two, I totally buggered. Don't do that to yourself. Question two is where I find the gap and I fill it. Oh, it was a star-based behavioral question. Now I know that I'm not so great at those, so I need to go and learn how to be better at them. That's so much better than, I'm never going to be able to do this. Okay? Just notice your brain when it goes to that black and white, all or nothing thinking, because it's always a slippery slope. So my friend, rejection, to give you some high level inspiration, rejection in my mind is a redirection often. And I do believe in the woo-woo that even though I said earlier, it's a bit like, oh, but now that I've told you all of the things, I do honestly believe that rejection is a redirection. And that it is the universe telling you that this is not the thing for you, or maybe it's just not your time here. And that helps me immensely. And I'm beginning to become really okay with rejection and redirection. And as a nursepreneur, if any nursepreneurs are listening and you've got this far, when you become a nursepreneur, you get rejected every single day in all ways, shapes, and forms. And rejection is a muscle that we just have to build, especially in this modern era where everything is digital and we're going to be walking around with headsets on in the future and no one's going to be talking to each other and everybody's going to be hiding behind user number 159 million and they're going to be slating you on social media. Whether you're a nursepreneur or not, that's just the future of the world. That's a very negative take. But rejection is a redirection. And I want you to really think about how that could be true for you and really pay attention to the growth and the redirection that happens after you've been rejected. Because often when the universe tells you, hey, this is not your thing, it often opens another door. And that has always been true for me and for the people that I have worked with. So just keep an eye out for that. Just open and raise your awareness to that. Just let the universe know that you're open to opportunities post redirection. Even frame it as that redirection could be a really great way to improve your self-talk. I didn't get rejected. I got redirected. Redirection. That's what it is, my friend. I will see you in the next one. If you are ready to fill the skill gaps, come and join us in the Nurse Growth Hub. All the links are in the show notes and I will chat to you next week. Bye. Hey, thanks so much for listening. I'm so privileged that you spent your time with us here today. Hey, can I ask a favor? If you know someone that would benefit from this podcast episode, please share it with them. The more you share, the more we get in front of amazing nurses and we're able to help them see that nursing on their terms across their career is totally possible for them. So I'd love if you could do that. Now, I will see you in the next episode next week. Until then, let's make this year the year that you nurse on your terms. Are you ready? Let's do it.